Back, everyone. We are now going to proceed with our scoping meeting 2015 triennial review of the water quality control plan for the Lahontan region. Ms. Kumanji.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Rich Booth to join us at the podium, and he's going to give a presentation on the triennial review. This is a scoping session, so you'll hear more about this at another meeting, too. But Rich?
Thank you, Patty. I'm Rich Booth. I am the unit supervisor of the TMDL Basin Planning Unit in our South Lake Tahoe office. Some of these slides are kind of a light background, so if you need some lights then either let me know or go do it yourself. Respectfully. The triennial review is a periodic review and update of basin plans. It's required under state and federal law. The process in California involves water board action to prioritize a list of basin planning issues for the staff to address over the following 3 years. Triennial review is not a regulatory action unless it includes the adoption of basin plan amendments. And these lists that we're proposing today are not, and therefore does not require environmental review. This is a scoping meeting. It is held to inform the water board members and the public about the triennial review process and items that are on this draft list. It's also here to accept public comments and to discuss basin planning priorities for the Lahontan region. This draft 2015 list is meant to open the discussion about priorities and may include suggestions to either add or delete items on the list. What you have in your package is an enclosure that includes the notice for soliciting comments. The comment period ends September 24th. We purposely have this scoping meeting in the middle of the comment period so that there may be comments generated from this scoping meeting, so there's time for folks to submit comments through the 24th. This package includes a staff report, and in the staff report contains the list of the 22 projects we're proposing at this time. And it also includes, not in your package, but in the back desk here, there are two letters as comments that we've already received. Both letters from Bill Thomas, one representing his ranch in the Bridgeport Valley, and another comment letter from Bill Thomas on behalf of a rancher in the Mammoth Creek watershed. And then thanks to the electronic marvels we have today, I received a comment in my email just sitting here in the audience from the Truckee Watershed Council, and I'll read that to you as well. As I explained the process required by federal and state law to update the basin plans, and we're here to prioritize or have suggestions on prioritizing this list or to add projects or perhaps delete them. 22 proposed projects that have the potential to amend the basin plan. Our goal is for the Water Board to prioritize sometime between now and September 24th, where we're soliciting comments. And staff will make recommendations based on these comments that we received, and that list of recommended priorities, along with some funding, the funding that's available to work on these, will then be held at the November meeting back here in Barstow for November 4th or 5th for adoption of the list. Board members, you are not asked to take action today. You may express your opinion or provide direction, but it is not required. And feel free to interrupt as I go through this list of projects. After my presentation, you may hear from members of the public expressing their requests. Before I launch into the projects, are there any questions? Very well. Okay. I want to go over the list from 3 years ago, give you a little update of what we've been doing. On the last triennial review list, there were several projects that were adopted into the basin plan through a very efficient, what I call, four-for-one process. Chuck Curtis and Bob Larson of your staff, Chuck formerly of your staff, Bob currently of your staff, were able to combine several projects into one basin plan amendment process that included adopting statewide policy for septic systems, known as the on-site wastewater treatment system. They were, which, by the way, was a required by state policy to be adopted in all region basin plans. In reviewing the list that we have in front of us, the 22, I don't see any that are absolutely required by law that absolutely have to be adopted. There are some, as we'll go through, that involve changing, perhaps changing, or making site-specific objectives that are related to a permit. But as far as specific required by law ones, there's none like that on this plan like there was last time. The 4-in-1 Basin Plan Amendment also included clarifying some language, and it also included a very extensive rewrite of Chapter 5, which pertains to Lake Tahoe. So we gained a lot of benefit from Chuck and Bob doing that process, and they're not even on my staff, so I consider that to be very efficient. There were salt and nutrient management plans proposed as basin plan amendments on the previous triennial review list, the 2012 list. But no basin plan amendment is necessary because the studies show that we would not have to change water quality objectives. One was for the Mojave Basin, and the other was for the Antelope Valley Basin. So there's no need for a basin plan amendment for those. They're ongoing projects, but just not a basin plan amendment. Dairy strategy was dropped. There's no need for a basin plan amendment for that. And if you want more information, please see Port Gasami's dairy status report at date stamp 9-18. And that gives you an example of how dairies are dealt with, again, without requiring a basin plan amendment, unless someone wants it that way. We'll consider it. But staff is recommending to not include it as a basin plan amendment priority. On the old list were two projects that staff already know we're going to recommend be continued, and those are the bacterial water quality objective, possible revisions, and the other is the Lake Tahoe Nearshore project. They're on the list, and we would like to keep them on the list. There are three projects, topics, that we really need to do each time. Program management of the basin plan, basin planning program, ongoing basin planning duties, and some miscellaneous items related to basin planning. Those, for your information, total about 1.1 PYs over 3 years. Maintaining the water quality objective, bacteria project, and the nearshore combined is about 1.5 PYs over 3 years. So right off the bat, we've got, 2.7 PYs. The total PYs we're estimating over a three-year period for all of these projects is 6. I have a slide at the end. I'll go into more detail of the funding. But to give you an idea up front, in your mind, consider 6 PYs over a three-year period. That's, of course, approximately 2 PYs per year. And then already we're suggesting enough projects that will be 2.5, 2.6 PYs of that. Okay. Patty already mentioned that the US EPA approved our basin plan amendment for application of pesticides with exemption criteria. We were very pleased about that. I have it framed in my office. That took several years with US EPA to, for various reasons, approve that basin plan amendment for us. And then on the list last time was China Lake. This is a de-designation of municipal beneficial use in portions of groundwater beneath the Naval Air Weapons Station, China Lake. That is to be heard by State Board, which is an approval process that these basin plan amendments must undergo, and that's scheduled for October 7th. So I, perhaps some Victorville staff, will go to Sacramento for that item. It is on consent. We hope we don't have to stand up and say anything, that they'll just approve it, but we're ready to answer any questions that they may have, should that be the case. After that, it goes to Office of Administrative Law. The US EPA does not have the authority to approve that because it is a groundwater issue. Once Office of Administrative Law approves it, it would become effective. We have five new topics proposed. I, of course, will discuss those. Okay. Can you guys see that? Is that visible? Do you need to dim anything? All right. As I said, number one there, basin, water quality objectives for bacteria. This was on the old list. We propose it to continue working on. Key issue for our bacteria water quality objective is influence from grazing. There are other influences, of course, but grazing is one of the prime sources of our bacteria in our water bodies. We're still underway with that project, although we've gathered the data that we believe we need now to at least make the case that we are maintaining high quality waters. The process now is to coordinate with State Board for their possible setting of a bacteria water quality objective statewide. So that's the process we're in now, and you'll hear more about this as we have more news to announce to you, either at the meeting or perhaps in an EO report. Nearshore water quality, this is a ongoing one as well, and this is a legislative request. I guess I should say that's required by law in the sense that the legislature has specifically requested that we address these issues, and of course we're involving other Tahoe stakeholders. Bob Larson and Dan Sussman in my unit are the prime staff working on that project. Those two together, as you can see in this next column here, total 1.5 PYs, again, over a three-year period. Again, from the list, before we had hydro modification, a riparian policy, possible basin plan amendment that we're working on. These have a better description. These have a paragraph or two described in your package. It's known as Table 3 of the staff report. It begins on Bates 10-25. There's one page per project. Had to make it simple because I'm a geologist. That's a joke. Okay, never mind. The riparian description is on Bates Stamp 10-27. Biological indicators. This is the possibility of determining water quality based on the biology, based on the biota that you have in the stream. This is an ongoing work. State Board is working on a policy for this. And then the Squaw Valley groundwater withdrawal, that's a item, again, from last one, where we want to evaluate the effects of the potential increased groundwater withdrawal in Squaw Valley. You'll notice from this list, if it helps you consider factors for prioritization, that the water quality objectives for bacteria is a region-wide influence. Nearshore is just for Lake Tahoe. The riparian policy would apply to streams and wetlands throughout our region, as would biological indicators, and the Squaw Valley is specific, of course, to just Squaw Valley. And this is an example of a riparian water portion of a waterway that would be addressed by. It's not that we wouldn't work on protecting riparian waterways without a basin plan amendment. It's just that a policy of riparian protection in our basin plan would, of course, have more strength, would have more guidance and effectiveness. So the argument goes. Also, as I go through this list, I want to point out that another factor you may want to consider besides region-wide or specific significance is the possibility of population growth. I have some data from projections, actually, from the California Department of Finance. They have a demographic research unit, and these data were done in December of 2014. And they were done by county. And these projections go through, at least the ones I'm presenting today, are going to go through 2040, the year 2040. And to summarize, it basically indicates, and this probably is no surprise, that our rural counties tend to have projections that are flat or even decreasing in population, whereas our more populated counties would expect to see increases in population. And I will extrapolate that and speculate that a rural area within a county that may be a high populated county, but you have rural portions of that county, I think you would expect that there not to be significant population increases. Now, of course, you have possible exceptions. The Tapestry development proposal near Hesperia will increase the population greatly. If development goes through in Squaw Valley, we'll have more people in that valley. So I ask that if you want to consider that as a prioritization factor, be thinking of that as we go through this list. Alpine is flat. Modoc, flat through the year 2040. You have an increase projected for El Dorado County, Kern County, Placer County, and San Bernardino County. And slight increases in Lassen County and Inyo County. Hutt Creek. Is that Hutt Creek? Yeah, Hutt Creek water quality objectives. This is a project that pertains specifically to a primarily driven by a hatchery at Hutt Creek because of an NPDES permit concern there. Fish Springs, another fish hatchery with a possible site-specific objective recommended for that hatchery because of water concerns from the intake. Site-specific objectives possible for the Susan River. This is prompted primarily by a concern by the local Susanville Community Service District and their effluent meeting certain water quality objectives we have for the Susan River. And at the bottom of this page is revising the chapter that deals with means of monthly means. Now, without getting into a statistics lecture, I just want to say that we would like to revise the current way of analyzing our data over time, our historical data, when we try to evaluate water quality, of using annual means instead of the mean of monthly means. We would, if we go forth with this project, we would define the minimum number of samples required and the sampling frequencies in order to assess our water quality objectives. This would help us to, by using the mean of monthly means, we sometimes data indicates or implies that the water quality is actually worse than it really is if we used a different statistical method that was more appropriate to the type of seasonality that we have in our region. So that's basically the argument there and the need for doing this type of amendment. This is a picture of Fish Springs Hatchery. All right, continuing through the list. These are all from the previous 2012. A biological beneficial use for the Mojave River. Now this may be combined with the biological indicators effort because it's a similar type of a thing where we're protecting the biological and the habitat community for certain reaches of the Mojave River. This would be introduction. The biological beneficial use exists. It would be applying that beneficial use to portions of the Mojave River for added protection of the water quality and habitat. The Eagle Lake Building Moratorium, that's not the best name for that. That's how it came in as a comment that someone made and requested it be a project 3 years ago. Amend the basin plan to lessen restrictions on building density for septic systems. This is related to the septic system policy, the on-site wastewater treatment policy that has already been adopted. There was a request for using the biotic ligand model for copper to incorporate US EPA national criteria for copper into water quality standards program using this particular model. The US EPA requested that we revise our pentachlorophenol, PCP, water quality objectives. It apparently has an impact on the early life stages of salmonids. And then there's a request that from the LA County Sanitation District number 14 that we remove two beneficial uses from Paiute Ponds wetlands as not being appropriate for those wetlands. That would be the groundwater recharge beneficial use and the ag supply beneficial use. So those are the list of the projects from our old list. We need to manage the program, and we've estimated these PYs for Basin Plan Program Manager. Currently, it is Mary Fiore Wagner, who is also the person you heard earlier today, is in charge of giving guidance for this pesticide prohibition with exemption criteria to both stakeholders and internal to staff. That, for example, would indicate this bottom one here, miscellaneous, not directly related to basin plan amendments. That's the type of work that a basin plan staff person would be doing under this 0.6 PYs over 3 years. Mary also attends the quarterly meetings of the Basin Planning Roundtable, consisting of basin planning program managers from other regions. And then, of course, in 3 years, someone, not me, will be up here in front of you to do another training review. We have five newly proposed. Excuse me a moment while I catch up on my papers. Package plants. Clarification needed on the applicability and the authorization of using package plants. This was an internal staff recommendation. I had to review what a package plant really is and what it entails, but treating the sewage, and you can get a sense for the scale for this typical example of a package plant, but that's a person standing on top there to give you an idea that they're not small septic systems, but then they're not large municipal systems either. That's a consideration that we have as a project. Site-specific objectives for specific groundwater basins. This is maybe necessary to change water quality objectives for certain basins for TDS and for nutrient loading. As we perform these salt and nutrient management plans, plus just local knowledge over our groundwater basins, and we're finding that the loading of total dissolved solids, TDS, and our nutrients, nitrate primarily, may exceed existing water quality objectives. And so we propose for the board to consider this project, as we would bring such examples to the board for consideration of either not allowing a change in the water quality objectives and therefore the stakeholders meeting that existing objective, or for matters that are in the best interest of the people of the state to perhaps change the water quality objective, perhaps make it a higher concentration that would allow perhaps more discharge or whatever type of activities may occur in that sub-basin. This one here is probably the one of all this list that would affect the most number of people. We have these other ones that you saw had region-wide significance, but this project will most likely occur in the basins that have the higher population centers, and particularly the ones that we expect there to be an increase in population. So we're going to warn you about this one. If this stays on the list and is adopted in November, is going to require a bit of work and coordination, of course, with all of our staff, Victorville and South Lake Tahoe. Next one, editorial revisions and basin plan fixes. Every 2-3 weeks, somebody will call me up or email on staff, Victorville or South Lake Tahoe staff, and say, you know, you've got the wrong number in this basin plan, page number whatever, or this is not clear. So I've got my little drop list of things that would be nice to fix in the basin plan. This is something that Chuck Curtis primarily did a few years ago, what we call basin plan fixes. I have this as a topic for occasional fixes. We wouldn't have a basin plan amendment for every single thing that needs to be fixed. We would tend to wait until we had sufficient number of them and there was sufficient need to do these all at once. Like right now, we've had incorrect square miles for I think, the southern part of our basin. Site-specific objectives for specific reaches of the Mojave River. We have salt, nutrients, and general minerals in the Mojave River, and apparently the problem between being an ephemeral stream versus a perennial stream or reach of the Mojave has a big concern on how these objectives and water quality objectives would be met. This is one of these examples of water supply, or water quantity, I should say, versus water quality. So this is a project that folks in the Victorville office would like to see as a possible basin plan amendment because it involves site-specific objectives. And then finally, a region-wide approach to total dissolved solids, water quality objectives, and surface waters. We ran across this, the TMDL staff ran across this one as they were going through the what we call the integrated report, listing of all of our water bodies and the impairments of them, or those that were impaired, and the reasons they're impaired, and some of the concentrations, you know, the how badly impaired they were. And we found that the TDS water quality objective for most of the water bodies in our region is set somewhat low, set back in the day, and we find that naturally occurring TDS oftentimes exceeds those water quality objectives. So we have an example of naturally occurring TDS exceeding our basin plan water quality objectives, and we don't think that's appropriate, so we're suggesting to spend some time adjusting and having the appropriate water quality objectives for some of these water bodies. The total of these newly proposed topics is 1.7 PYs over 6 years. So you'll see that the, as I said before, the bacteria and the nearshore projects total 1.5, program management 1.1, these newly proposed 1.7. So you add those together, if I did my math right, you get 4.3 PYs for those three groups, again, out of a total of six. So that just leaves 1.7 PYs for all the others, all the ones that were on the old list, just to give you an idea that we're going to have to prioritize. This is why we're prioritizing. We cannot do them all. Just restates in graphic form what I just said. If we added up all the projects on this 22-project list, we'd come up with 15 PYs, person years, personnel years. We're estimating we will only have 6 PYs over the next 3 years available. So therefore, we need to prioritize and do and estimate and prioritize what the ones we would do with the available resources. I want to emphasize, just because a project may not make it above the list, if we adopt this list in November and there are some projects that are, quote, below the line, deprioritized, we may still work on them. Sometimes we get additional funding from a stakeholder who wants to fund a particular project and will help contract with the contract money. Sometimes we'll get money funding from State Board and our various funding sources that we can use towards these projects. Sometimes we'll combine our work with other units that they will use their funding appropriate to their, for example, permitting world, whereas we can spend maybe not as much time as we estimated and complete a basin plan amendment or conclude that a basin plan amendment is not appropriate. So I don't want to imply that these numbers are so set in stone that they cannot be altered. And in fact, I use the Chuck and Bob basin cleanup example as a perfect example of how four projects were done, some of a couple of them, I mean one or two of them below the line, but they were completed because of the combining of resources. This concludes the presentation of the projects. I now want to present to you some comments that we've received already, and again reminding you that the comment period ends on the 24th. And that, by the way, when we put the notice out, August 10th, I believe, that allowed a 45-day comment period. So this triennial review comment period was a 45-day period, not a 30-day period like you may be used to. It's been a full 45 days. People will still have an opportunity to come to you in November and present their comments to you in person, but the actual comment period ends the 24th because we then need to respond to those comments and then prioritize the list based on the comments we receive from you or from other stakeholders. On the back here is late item 10. It contains a hard copy of two letters received on the triennial review priority list, both from Bill Thomas, Best, and Krieger law firm. First letter is on behalf of Dave Wood Ranches. What do you have those? Oh, cool. going down a little bit more and you'll see. Okay. This gives a little background of Dave Wood Ranches. They run cattle on leased L.A. Department of Water and Power land near the town of Mammoth Lakes. They also graze on some Forest Service land. He's commented on the project for the bacteria water quality objectives. And this comment from Bill Thomas on behalf of Dave Wood is in both letters. And that is some comments that he's mentioned before concerning that our current bacteria water quality objective of 20 fecal coliform per 100 milliliters of water is a standard that's unnecessarily strict. And he's offered the rationale for that. Next project he mentions is riparian protection project that I mentioned, also known as hydro modification. His comment on that is that such protection as a basin plan amendment is not necessary. I'm obviously grossly simplifying these just to give you an idea. Please read them for yourself. On the project or the topic known as biological indicators, he quotes the proposal to use biocriteria. He believes that the science is premature. We're not really ready for that yet. And he cites in his letter, the Dave Wood letter, California Stream Condition Inventory Score. This is an intriguing score that's being developed by Water Board staff and I believe contractors to be able to use biological criteria to determine the water quality of a stream. And in your package, in this current package, in an EO report on Bates 9-5 is by one of the members of my staff, Carly Nielsen, who's done an excellent job of explaining this California Stream Condition Inventory Score as an EO report, and then she also attached the Surface Water Ambient Monitoring Program folks' report on how this is done. So if you want more information on this biological indicators and this use of this particular inventory score, which, by the way, we're already using for some of our TMDL implementation assessments, you can gain some really good information there. At least it'll get you started. And finally, on this letter, Hot Creek objectives. That's mentioned because Dave Wood Ranches apparently is in the Mammoth Creek watershed, where Hot Creek is. Bill Thomas says we take no position as to Hot Creek objectives. Okay, the next letter is from Bill Thomas. He has Centennial Ranch. This letter's from him representing his Centennial Ranch. Make similar comments on the bacteria water quality objectives. He mentions the project, the Lake Tahoe Nearshore Standard, and he specifically mentions how the bacteria standard for Lake Tahoe was historically set and then adopted for the rest of the region. So he's tying in a bacteria standard that was made for Tahoe at the time with our current nearshore water quality standard, in his letter, to make that association that I'll have to frankly discuss with staff to get a little more clear understanding. Riparian protection to enhance the watershed, again, as in the other letter, believes that it's not necessary as a basin plan amendment. Biological indicators, he mentions again here as being a premature science. And then finally, his last comment is on the means of monthly means. He supports changing that way of analyzing data to the other way of using just annual means as a way of evaluating our historical data. And finally, I have one last comment that I received via email from the Truckee River Watershed Council, and if you'll bear with me a little bit longer, I will read it to you. The Truckee River Watershed Council is writing about the public scoping meeting today for the Triennial Review. We would like to respectfully remind the Lahontan Water Board of our 2014 request for an additional TMDL standard for the Middle Truckee River Watershed. The current TMDL standard does not appear to be sufficient to detect actual impairment from excess sediment. The TMDL that exists for the Truckee River is a sediment TMDL. An additional standard that directly assesses impacts to beneficial uses may be necessary. So they made a request that I read this to you during the scoping meeting. So the TMDL standard for sediment that's in our current TMDL, they believe is doesn't adequately assess the water quality for certain portions of the Truckee River, and they've done studies to support that assertion, and they're requesting that it be considered. That's strictly a TMDL issue and not a basin plan issue, and staff that work on this and that have assessed their information are charging to the TMDL program. But if we change a TMDL standard, it would require a basin plan amendment, because all TMDLs that are adopted by the board goes into our basin plan. So therefore, it would carry over from the TMDL world of our assessing their request with TMDL funding and TMDL thoughts. But if we agree or conclude that the standard that exists should be changed, it would then require a basin plan amendment. That concludes my information. I, of course, will entertain questions.
Okay, Rich, just for process clarification, what you will be asking of the board in November is what? That we provide for you prioritization of these proposed, or we adopted, or explain that.
Okay. Sometime after the comment period ends, but before, 10 days before the board meeting, so I'm going to commit to a vague deadline in mid-October, we will provide you with the same list plus any additions that we've received, and we staff will offer our suggested prioritization, and we will offer our rationale why we think this prioritization scheme is the best, or what we recommend. And it'll be based on the factors I mentioned, those that we need to do, those that have carried over that we're currently working on, we don't want to stop, and then for others, we'll take no stance, but it'll be put on the list with the estimated time, or PYs, that it takes to do it, so that we'll have for you the line above and below, which will help you understand that if you adopt this list, we for sure have funding for these 12 projects, for example, but those below the line won't be funded and may not be worked on if you agree to that. You then, of course, can take that list and say, no, that number 22 you have at the bottom of the list, I want it higher. I want it up in the funding portion. And that would be your direction, or your direction to staff. So we would possibly amend the list at the November board meeting.
Okay, so when you circulate your proposed list about 10 days prior to the public hearing, then we will continue to receive those public comments, correct? And then they can also come to the hearing and share their comments on your proposed prioritization.
Yes. Now, are you asking if we would receive comments after the comment period? I mean, we could receive comments. I'm not going to turn them away. That's a good question. I'm not sure.
On the priorities.
No, generally, once you have the list that goes out, then people could come to the board and talk to the board about their concerns, but there wouldn't be another comment period on that prioritization.
Okay, but that would be, their comments would still be received?
If we wanted to. It would be after the comment period, so we wouldn't have to accept those, but if you wanted to, we could.
Okay.
And today, the board members could give Rich direction on their concerns or their priorities too.
Okay, this is helpful. This is my first triennial review, so I'm excited to go through the process.
If I could add to that, this is the point we really do want to have the board members and even the public give us input on. We prefer this one over that one, so that we can prepare this list that you heard Rich talk about. But the past triennial that I was at, people did come to that meeting and did say, I support this one, this one's more important to me, and I think all that the board can put into consideration is very helpful.
Okay. And I think as I read, you know, just the synopsis for each of those, I really wonder what the greater breadth and depth is of that subject, and I'm hoping that dialogue will come out.
And we'll go to the board. Mr.
And just for historical perspective, the last triennial review, we received 22 comments, letters, and they're on our website. They're all I've left up all of the 2012 comment letters and our responses to them. Those were all received by the deadline, And so I don't recall it being a problem receiving any comments after the comment period. We may have, but that was not a problem. And I don't recall at the board meeting there being a major change in the list either.
Okay.
So if the same thing happens, it should be straightforward. But again, that option exists. That's because it's a hearing.
Good. Thank you, Rich. Mr. Jardine, any questions?
Just a quick comment. I'd like to submit my comments in writing, and I have a high priority with Bridgeport Valley. And
you have a high priority one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With me.
Bridgeport Valley.
Care to share?
Bridgeport Valley.
Ah, Bridgeport Valley, and related to the bacterial water quality objective?
Yes.
Excellent. I bet that one's going to stay on the list.
I had a couple of comments and or questions. One of them is really a request for help. It's an SOS kind of thing. And that is, you mentioned the idea of criteria for prioritization. And because I know you've given this way more thought than I have, and probably maybe anybody on the face of the earth, if you have a sense of what those criteria are or what valuable criteria could be, it would be really helpful to me, at least, if you could just send me an email or send us an email and say, this is some suggested criteria you could use for this prioritization. It's really hard to just wade into this presentation, as good as it was, and it was quite good, and get a foothold to then say, well, this is relative to that, it's relative to that. And so if you have that sense of what criteria could be used, that would be really helpful. My other comment, and I think you actually alluded to it, is some of these are proposals that we consider for the benefit of, or at least at the request of, various agencies or entities. And I would hope that one of the things that we could do would be to urge them to help us make their dreams come true in this process. I think there's a difference that I sense intuitively, qualitatively, between doing something at the specific request of someone who presumably would benefit from this and taking some action that benefits either the region as a whole or is at least a little bit more neutral. So if someone wants us to do that, I would hope that they would be able to appreciate the fact that given these resource limitations, they might be able to help in some way by generating information or data or other ways, not just limited to dollars. Close to the last question I had is some of these broader things like the riparian and the biological indicators and the bacteria seem to be, I wonder if they sort of travel up into some of these more specific ones. So there's a way to look at these PYs where if you do work on the broader issue, the riparian issue, does that give you some footing into like the Tahoe issue or something like that so that we could get a better handle of, maybe there's more efficient ways to get benefit in more than one area in terms of trying to assess these PYs. And then personally, I also am interested just in trying to continue to work on the bacteriological issue because it's been around as long as I have. And I know I'm not getting any younger. So it would be nice to see if that could be brought to some kind of conclusion.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Thank
Certainly,
you.
Criteria for prioritization, we have various criteria of varying amount of importance to an individual or to the water board as a whole. 3 years ago, I had a very complicated matrix that included a lot of criteria with a complicated ranking system that I barely understood myself. It didn't work out well.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But the idea of offering the criteria that we used, in fact, and importantly, I think I learned 3 years ago, the consequences of these amendments. will be stated, will be made more clear. You can glean that already now from the brief paragraph descriptions of these, but taking your comment to heart, Mr. Pumphrey, I would like to add more criteria and consequences in more detail.
And I'm not looking, at least at this point, initially for anything particularly formal, or it's just that I think you have a sense of things that you have seen it to be valuable to think of as you look at this list. And if you could send that along, even not necessarily as part of the formal November package, but just between now and then, so that I can get a sense of thinking in those ways. I'm not looking for rankings or anything like that from you. Just, well, here's some things that we've thought of. I'd like to bring them to your attention. I appreciate it.
I get that. Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Horn.
Yeah, so first a couple of questions. One question, one comment. So I wasn't clear from your description. Is the TMDL staff looking at the Truckee River Watershed Council's request for amending the Truckee TMDL?
We evaluated their data and presentation a while back, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Since then, other priorities, particularly the integrated report and the listing of all of our water bodies and their impairments, has taken the priority.
Okay.
So frankly, it has not been an active project for us now.
Okay.
All that, of course, subject to your direction and management.
Because as I recall, at the time when they made their presentation, what I remember the staff saying was that their information was good.
That is correct.
So that I sort of, what I took away from that was that it was worth moving forward with what they were suggesting. So
I would concur with that, given the understanding that there are many other things that are
right,
good.
Right. Okay, so that's the TMDL
and not,
staff.
Not to denigrate the Truckee River.
I mean, I would be happy to consider it on the triennial review when it's appropriate to, and it's not. Yeah. It sounds like it's not appropriate to at this time.
Well, certainly adding it to the list, which I. That's all I need to do is to add it to the list, the request that they made.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you now it's on the list.
Okay. All right.
With more description and more criteria and more discussion.
Okay.
And prioritization will be added for your consideration.
Just a comment. This is now the third or fourth time I've been through the triennial review. And it's so every time in the past we've had one presentation in the North Lahontan region at the meeting and one presentation at the South Lahontan region. That, unfortunately, is not happening just because of how the board meetings fell out this year. So I think it's unfortunate, and that I would feel better if we also had an opportunity for stakeholders in the North Lahontan region to come to the meeting and make comments. But that doesn't work out this
just
time.
Just a bit of background on that. One of the reasons for the North and South 3 years ago was primarily because of the pesticide prohibition with exemption criteria. That had a lot of stakeholder interest in the North and South, particularly from the land agencies.
Yeah.
And we had meetings held in their facilities, particularly down south. There was a lot more people that needed to be present, and we talked over details. Not having that one this time, we didn't see that need.
Yeah.
Plus the fact the schedule not allowing
right.
it as
but
well.
But the issues are so different between the two parts of our region that in the future I think it would be good to try to do the two meetings.
Okay.
Okay, so moving on to my thoughts. I completely agree with the comments that Board Member Pumphrey made. To my mind, please tell us where we really have no decision space.
Okay.
So, clearly it seems like the 1.1 PYs that have to do with managing the triennial review, we have no decision space on that. So that's 15% of the time right there that is not available for discussion. Anything else that... my next comment is, as far as I'm concerned, we look at the old list de novo. There's that... What I mean is that we combine things on the old list with the suggestions that have come in, and we look at the combined list, that the old list doesn't get any necessary priority over new suggestions unless there is good reason to continue working on them. Okay? So the reasons, so let's see, other criteria that are interesting that I think are important is, so it is to know which of these have broad stakeholder support. So some of those from the old list clearly have broad stakeholder support, the nearshore standards and the bacteria report. So those are ones that seem to me to get a high priority because, but there may be others on this list I don't know about that also have broad stakeholder support compared to ones where it's really, you know, an agency, an interest, you know, where it's really, there isn't broad stakeholder support that needs to be fixed. Ones that are of strategic importance. So to my mind, that means overlaying areas where we expect to see population growth and we expect to see significant impacts from climate change. And again, those impacts are going to be very different between North and South Lahontan regions. Now, the population projections, I've worked with those kinds of numbers a lot. So the number for San Bernardino County is going to be spread across areas that are very rural and very urban. The truth is, most of that growth is going to happen in the Hesperia-Victorville area. And so it's that suggests to me that, you know, when you think about a number that's across that whole area that's really going to be focused in a small area, that increases dealing with an issue that might arise in that area between the combination of population growth and climate change. That increases that in priority in my mind. In the North Lahontan region, the problem with El Dorado, Placer, and Nevada counties is most of those the population growth in those areas is on the west side, not in the Lahontan region. So even though those areas look like they're growing in population, it's not as significant as it looks from the numbers. So then a split that I would like to see, and you talked about this as you went through the list, but it would be useful to have things broken out in columns so we could say, you know, with the PYs attached, so we could say we like these, you know, out of column A and these out of column B, whatever. So a split between ones that have broad region-wide significance and ones that have site-specific, that are really very local. Some of these seem to me as if there were site-specific ones that were related to region-wide ones. This is, I'm echoing now what Board Member Pumphrey said. If we could combine those and just, I mean, it seems to me that we get economies of scale if we just take a region-wide approach and then we can drop the specific ones off our list. We don't have to think about them anymore. Making sure that whatever we do is appropriate to those specific areas. There are some things that are like making the basin plan more appropriate, you know, so the improving the function of the annual means, that seems like a good thing to do. Where our current standard is below the naturally occurring elements, that would be good to fix. Things that just speak to us as professionals and having a basin plan that is we can stand behind. That seems like, so kind of breaking things out into these different categories according to that. And just so back to the things of strategic importance, I would like to see us move forward on the site-specific objectives for specific groundwater basins. That, I think, is, you know, that's something that's more than one cycle of the triennial review. It's a long-term project. It's the sooner we get started on that, let me say it this way. The longer we wait to get started on that, the more difficult it will be to do. So that's one where if we start working on it now, we will save ourselves time in the long run.
Noted.
That all? Mm-hmm. Thank you for those comments. Mr. Dye.
Rich, I have a question on number 14, which was the last one carried over from the 2012 review, and that's remove two beneficial uses from Paiute Ponds.
Yes.
Who requested this change?
Los Angeles, I think it was the Sanitation District 14. It's in my notes. I have to refer it, but LACSD.
I thought the Air Force had jurisdiction of those ponds.
I don't know the details of that. I may have to defer to other staff.
I think the Air Force has jurisdiction. We're going to have to get back to you on that. I think part of it is certainly the wastewater treatment plant is LACSD's. The discharge location, I think, is on Air Force property, so there's a distinction there.
But might it be part of their permit, the LACSD's discharge permit? Might.
There's some relationship there.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure the Air Force concurs with the change.
Oh, good point.
I believe we have a member of the audience that can address it, if you would like. Say your name and affiliation.
So I'm Erica Bench with L.A. County Sanitation District. It is District Number 14, and we do have a discharge permit, and part of our discharge goes to Paiute Ponds, which are located on Edwards Air Force Base. Our concern is if those what we consider beneficial uses, which are not applicable to that area, that we would have the limits on our discharge to Paiute Ponds.
Yes, I understand why you're requesting the change. Is the Air Force going to object to this?
We will work with staff. We don't think the staff that we do work with, which is the environmental staff, we don't think they will object. With at least one of them, the agricultural one, I'm sure. I don't think the groundwater recharge one either, but I'm not sure on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay.
Procedural question, Rich. I'm not sure if we're on any specific deadline if we were to afford a workshop in the north. How would that affect our timing? Could we afford to do that?
Okay. To my knowledge, we're not penalized for having a triennial review that extends outside the triennial review period. In fact, last triennial review, the adoption was in January of 2013, even though it was the 2012 list. So it bumped a month later out of the calendar, if you will. I don't know, frankly, and I don't think there would be a problem. We want to keep it. We don't want to get off step. We want to keep the triennial review period all the years divisible by three, 2012, 2015, the next one should be 2018. But to my knowledge, there's no penalty other than maybe a stakeholder concern, but I'm not aware of any state board.
Are you interested in us looking at that option?
No, I don't think it's important this time. We've heard from the Truckee River Watershed Council. I'm not sure that there would be many other people who would want to come and make presentations or requests if we had it at a hearing. So I don't. It's not critical this time. It's more important to keep to the schedule, I think.
Okay.
But I was making that comment for the future.
Okay. Now, of course, if we receive comments that are of such magnitude and that we consider it to be of such importance that an additional scoping meeting would be necessary, we'll certainly recommend it, suggest it to management. I'll be in close contact for that eventuality, so it's not out of the question, certainly.
Okay.
And I also want to remind the chair, if I may, that as a scoping meeting, we would entertain any other questions from the audience as well.
Certainly. Yeah. So for the time being, we will just stay the course on the current schedule.
Okay.
And is there anyone wishing to speak from the audience? Sue, do you have any speaker's card?
No.
Anyone else wishing to provide comment at this time? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Booth.
Thank you.